Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. A special welcome to those who may be visiting with us here at St. John's this morning, or those who are joining us on the live stream for the first time. We're especially grateful to have you with us this morning. The announcements for this morning are contained in the bulletins and were on the screens before you as you were gathering, so I hope you had the opportunity of making note of those which are of most importance to you. A couple of things to draw quickly to your attention. Yesterday was the cleanup. Every second Saturday of the month, we're working with the city and the Adopt the Street program to help keep things tidy around the neighborhood. And yesterday we had the opportunity of gathering and I'm not advancing things. All right. I was going to show you a picture of the wonderful team who were here yesterday, but that's not working for us this morning, which is going to be problematic a little bit later on, but we'll just see. Technology. Oh, there we go. There we are. Some of us are more excited to be picking up garbage than others, it seems. So that was yesterday's team, It's starting to get just a little bit easier as we get further and further into it because, of course, we've picked stuff up already. So thank you for Trish coming along yesterday and being part of it. And during the month of August, Colleen, who has been heading this all, will be out of town. And so if you would like to take the lead for the month of August, speak to Colleen. Otherwise, we may have to wait until September. And then just looking forward throughout the summer, a few special things. We'll have a regular worship service next week, and then things just go completely awry for the next 6 weeks. So it'll be a wonderful period of exploration. On the 26th of July, we're pleased to welcome the Reverend Charles Deo Gratias to the pulpit for a special Sunday service. And so, Charles is a delight, so please do come and hear Charles proclaiming God's word. And then on August the 2nd, we will be having a congregational hymn sing during worship. And there are little slips of paper that were falling out all over the place this morning, driving the people who were handing out the bulletins crazy. So I apologize, and I didn't know they were going to be quite that small when I said, can we put something in the bulletin? But if you have a hymn request that you would like to have included on that day, please put it into the fill out one of these and drop it into the collection plate or slip it to me as you're shaking my hand and leaving the sanctuary this morning, and we'll do our best. If I get 50 hymns, we can't do all of them because we'll be here all day, and you all will complain that the service has gone too long. But we will do our best to include as many as we can and to group them together thematically so that if your request isn't fulfilled in completeness, there will at least be something similar to it. And then following August the 2nd, I will be on vacation, and so we will have a series of guest preachers during the month of August, and that information will be shared with you, just who will be in the pulpit in a week or so. As we come in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of the Lord. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I invite you to stand as you are able as we come into God's presence this morning. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?
Put your hope in God, for I shall again praise the one who is my help and my God.
Let us worship God this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, ruler of all things, seen and unseen, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you show us your power and your mercy. You cast out evil, tear down walls of division, comfort and challenge your people, and show signs of your kingdom coming into the world. Grant that we may lift up the discouraged, strengthen the doubting, and join with all who seek to thank you for your goodness. Glory be to you, O God, who with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Son together is worshipped and praised, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come in worship, let us sing the hymn 321, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Hymn 321, or as it will appear before you on the screens. The geography of sin is a waterless wasteland, but God gives springs of living water, streams of justice and mercy, flowing into the wilderness from the mountain of God. As we gather to come in worship, let us drink deeply of God's mercy as we confess our sins to the Lord. This morning's prayer of confession is as usual, a unison prayer and will appear on the screens. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so our souls long for you, O God. When we are parched and weak, fill us with the waters of your grace. When we are starving and stumbling, feed us with the bread of life. You call us to be your servants, but we have wandered away from your call. Forgive us, God of life, and fill us with your love. Amen. Hear these words of the Apostle Paul. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In Jesus Christ, we have been united with God and have been freed from our sin, adopted as children of the living God. Therefore, let us live in hope, for in Christ we have been forgiven. And as God, Christ has forgiven us, we are encouraged to be forgiving one of another. Let us therefore stand and share with our neighbors a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn of praise, number 27 in the Book of Praise, or as it is on the screens, As the Deer Pants, hymn number 27. I have some young friends over there. Would you guys like to come up for the story this morning? Yeah, come on. I promise I don't bite. Good morning. How are you this morning? And we usually just sit right there. And I know I asked your names yesterday, last week, but you're going to have to remind me again. Joseph and Beth. Beth? Beth. How do people define who you are? How do people go, oh yeah, that's Joseph, that's Beth, that's Valerie, that's John? There are different ways, aren't there? Right? Like when you're in school, some may go, oh yeah, Beth is the smartest girl in our class. And Joseph might be the fastest runner. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's how tall you are. How tall are you, do you know? 4 feet, you think? Well, I'm not sure that that's the right way to measure it. Will you help me? Come stand here for a minute. Stand up. That way, I always have to stand up here so that the people on the camera can see me. And I'm going to measure you. Is that okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 6.5 bananas is what I get. Sound about right? They're big bananas now, don't get me wrong, but I actually was going to bring a real banana, but the bananas we have at the house are ripe, and I didn't think they'd survive the trip. Thank you. You can go and sit down. Because, odd thing to do, isn't it? Measure by bananas. But there are different measures for different people, right? Some may be smarter, some may be faster, some may be taller, some may be shorter. And all of those different measures are different ways of looking at people. This morning in worship, if you're listening during the sermon time and during our scripture readings, we're going to read from the psalm. And the author of the psalm, Psalm 42, is what we're reading this week. Jamila, we're doing Psalm 42 this week. That's Jamila's psalm. She asked for it way back in January. So she's getting it. Oh, by the way, if you want me to preach on your favorite psalm next week, this is your last chance before I go on summer vacation to ask me to preach your psalm. So I'm at the door. You can ask. Psalm 42 this morning, we're going to listen to the psalm, and the psalmist talks about how he measures himself, and his whole measurement of who he is how he is seen in the eyes of God. So we can listen for that this morning as we're listening to the message. That's our organizing thought. I want to thank you guys for coming up this morning. Thanks, Joseph, for being a help this morning. I needed you, as you could tell. And I'll let you go back and sit with your mom and dad now. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, your word feeds us, your word frees us, and the Spirit gives us life. Grant our ears an appetite for hearing and our spirits strength for loving you. Amen.
Our first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. And you might say we've already heard this part of this reading this morning as the assurance of pardon. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And our second reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Once more, let us come in praise as we sing hymn number 26 in the Book of Praise, "As Pants the Heart for Cooling Streams," hymn number 26.
Thank you.
And as we continue our sojourn through the book of Psalms this year, we turn this morning to Psalm 42 and 43. Let us listen for God's word to his people as we read together, as we read. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan to Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my guide. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. This morning, friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Technology is indeed going to be a demon this morning. This morning's sermon is entitled, Cut Off from Hope. As people of faith, we have a great affection for the Psalms. As we have said throughout this year, the Psalms speak to us and to every emotion in our human existence. And indeed, they give voice to feelings that we dare not express. But more than that, for we who are in the Reformed and Presbyterian tradition, the Psalms have been the center of our hymn life as well. Our hymn singing for much of the history of the Reformed Church has been based upon the Psalter and the words that we find in the Psalms. And so they are not only articulations of our deepest emotions, but because of the marriage of these certain texts with certain tunes, the Psalms have very much become engraved into our very hearts. But sometimes that familiarity can also become just a little bit of a challenge as well. A challenge to fully comprehend what the depth of meaning that we find in the Psalms. Psalm 42 may well be one of those psalms, one of those psalms that's just a little bit too familiar, perhaps. Of the 150 psalms that exist in the Psalter, I think there's a strong case to be made that Psalm 42 is on the top 10 list of people's favorite psalms. And it has been set to various musical settings, as we've heard this morning, from the metrical psalm that we just sang moments ago to the more modern composition, like As the Deer, that we sang earlier as we were preparing for the time with the family of God. But if you were listening to the psalm this morning, then you might have heard aspects of the psalm which, I don't know if they surprised you, but things that sometimes we lose in the beautiful melodies that we sing them to. Because this psalm, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, and there's a reason for the two of them being together, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but this psalm flows, ebbs and flows, moving from articulations of hope to despair at being cut off from that hope. While elsewhere in the book of Psalms, the believer is encouraged to sing a new song to the Lord, here in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, it is an old song that appears again and again. This psalm is built around a refrain. Did you hear it as it was being read? It's built around a common refrain which appears three different times in the Psalms, in verse 5 and verse 11 of Psalm 42, and then again in verse 5 of Psalm 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. This refrain is a touchstone to which the psalmist keeps returning again and again. It is the organizing thought in this psalm. And it is why scholars believe that Psalm 42 and 43 are not two separate psalms, but one unity. As this refrain crosses that dividing line in our Bibles where it goes, and then a different psalm. The refrain crosses that dividing line, that which makes two, and thematically unites Psalms 42 and 43 together. In fact, it does more than that. The construction of the Psalms, if my Bible study people will know, my favorite expression when speaking about the Psalms is, but not so the wicked. Right? The Psalms are built on these constructions of this and that. So some of the Psalms, you will get these great Psalms of praise, give us these great exaltations of God and of the faithful and how the faithful walk in the ways of the Lord, but not so the wicked. It always takes a moment to stop and look at the other side of the coin as well, the yin and the yang of the psalm message. And here this morning, in this psalm, more of a psalm of lament, the psalms of lament also do that change in style and focus from lament to joy. It just does it the other way around. And what we see in Psalm 43 is that final closing stanza, what one many could argue is the final closing stanza of Psalm 42, because it is the point at which the psalmist changes from just outlining this terrible existence that he's living, he's having a very bad day, to the words, vindicate me, O God, his placing his full and total trust in the Lord, and then ending with this wonderful refrain. The Psalm 42, begins with this powerful image of the soul that is bereft of God. A soul that is dry and withered, parched and longs for water like a deer pants for the flowing streams. It is apparent that the psalmist has participated in the great acts of worship in the temple, that place where Israel gathers to meet in the very presence of God, and he remembers those things over and over again here in this psalm. In verse 2, he says, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God?" And then he goes on from there to verse 4, when he said, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." He remembers these times of worship and praise and how those things defined him, as we mentioned with the young people this morning. This is his defining reality, that he has the privilege of gathering with the people of God and praising God in the temple, to stand in the very face of God. But now the author writes, he seems that he is cut off from his worship, from his God, and from his hope. And our psalmist seems to be acquainted with Job's friends. You all remember Job's friends, don't you? People who sounded very, very pious, but struggled really with an understanding of, A, how to comfort their poor friend Job, or their understanding of God. Our psalmist seems to be acquainted with Job's friends because twice in the midst of his despair and his hopelessness, he says to us that there are those who taunt him and ask, "Where is your God?" And yet we know his God is never far from the psalmist. The psalmist draws forward to his time, the chaos of the pre-creation universe, when everything was chaos and crashing waves, when deep calls out to deep, and the psalmist is sinking. In verse 7, he writes, "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, and your breakers and your waves have gone over me." All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. I don't know if it was intentional on the part of the psalmist. I have to believe that it was. That the psalmist, even in the midst of his deepest despair, in these moments when he feels that all is lost and he is completely engulfed, still remembers God. It is the articulation of the sovereignty of a God that even in chaos, even when everything seems to be upside down and backwards, the chaos is God-centered. Your breakers and your waves are the ones that have overwhelmed me. And the psalmist cries out, "Why have you forgotten me?" But then once more, that old song returns. The refrain in verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And then the psalmist intercedes before God in Psalm 43. It flows naturally there. "Vindicate me," he says. "Defend my cause. You are the God in whom I take refuge. Send out your light and your truth and let them lead me." That is his intercession, his cry, his plea for help before the throne of God's grace. And then in the following of God's way, and in the walking in God's light and God's truth, the psalmist acknowledges that he will then be restored and brought back into God's holy hill, welcomed into the temple. Then the psalmist will delight in his being restored once more. Then I will go down to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. And we conclude with that old sweet song, our refrain once more. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Setting this psalm within the historical context of the larger biblical narrative is a little bit challenging. May well be that this is one of the original psalms of David, written by David for his at some point in his troubled life. Or it may be that the psalm is written during or just after the time of exile, the time when the children of God had indeed been cut off by the temple because they were removed from the land that God had given them and placed in a foreign land, in the land of Babylon. And many of us have known a moment like that, a time when action or circumstance have left us bereft or cut off from community, from hope, or from God. Times when our sinfulness or the carelessness of others has left us wondering, where is my place? Times when the cares and the concerns of the world have become too much and we feel we have no way out. Times when we just wish that all the noise around us would stop so that we can have just a moment to breathe. It is as Augustine of Hippo wrote in his Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Psalm 42 declares to us that the answer is yes, that in the presence of our God there is hope and joy as we come to sing those old songs, to hold up our need to God with the assurance that God will hear us. Therefore, let us learn from the psalmist, and with our eyes fixed upon God, let us sing once more that refrain, that it may become our refrain too, and the focus for our lives. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil about me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. May this be the measure of our days, and in it may we find peace, now and always. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Living Faith document of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. We read chapter 2, and section 1 of that chapter speaks of God's creation and ruling. Let us read responsively as it appears before you. The living God is Lord, creator of all, sustainer and ruler of the universe. In the seasons and the harvests, in the rise and fall of nations, God's goodness and judgment are present. All events in this world are under the sovereign care of the eternal God. We hold in reverence the whole creation as the theater of God's glory and action. God rules the lives of individuals and nations, yet does not negate our freedom and responsibility. Ever at work in the world and in our lives, God directs all things toward fulfillment in Christ. We affirm God's righteousness and loving purpose, even in a world where evil abides. This purpose is uniquely disclosed in Jesus Christ. In him, we see the greatest paradox of life. The mighty God chose to come into this world in weakness. In Christ, God enters most deeply into our sufferings. Thanks be to God. God has given us much more than enough for our journey of faith. Let us therefore present our tithes and offerings so that others may know their blessings and give thanks to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for every good and perfect gift that falls from your hand and waters our lives. Take what we offer to you now, the fruit of the harvest of our lives, that it may blossom and go forth, filled with your love and good news, and it may change the lives of others in this world. We pray these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. As we come in the prayers of the people this morning, there is a response to the prayer. When you hear the words, Holy Triune God, you are invited to respond with the words, Have mercy on us. Let us pray. Holy God, one in three and three in one, hear us as we pray for your blessings this day, saying, Holy Triune God, have mercy on us. We pray, O God, for your church. Help us to be faithful to your word. And when we are feeling hopeless, raise us up to face the journey before us as the body of Christ in the world. Holy and triune God, have mercy upon us. We pray, O God, for your troubled world. Stand with those who feel forgotten or alone. Give refuge to those who have been cast aside. Convert those whose God are hatred and fear. Holy and triune God, have mercy upon us. We pray for this community. Let us be no longer divided by race or status or gender, but unite us in compassion for one another and give us a common purpose to be your servant people. Holy and triune God, have mercy on us. We pray for loved ones. Comfort those whose struggles and fears weigh heavily on our hearts this day. Show them your healing and your steadfast love. Holy triune God, have mercy on us. All of these things we ask of you, Lord God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Guide us in all of our journey of life, and unite us now as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 4. Our closing hymn is number 741. Like a mighty river flowing, hymn 741.
Glory, glory, far beyond.
And now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.